Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thankfully, not many among us have had to experience homelessness firsthand. Every day I come into the office and there are tents or people sleeping, and sometimes they're in front of the door, sometimes they're on the side, sometimes they're right out in the open. Imagine not having a place. It's hard for us who have always had a place, or most of us have always had a place, whether it was the place we grew up in or the place we live in now, we've always had a place. There's other things that go with homelessness besides not having a roof over your head. Without having a place, without having a space to call your own, you lose a whole lot more. When I talk with many of the people who are around the building, there's more than just having a roof over your head. Living on the street or living wherever you can find a spot, there's danger, cold, wet, there's violence, there's theft regularly. And when I clean up after groups or people that have been here for a while, as I did this last week from in the corner, the things that are stuffed into those tents, it's unimaginable. Really, you can't, unless you've done it yourself, you can't know what it's like to not have a place. We talk a lot about homelessness around here because it's a big issue, and there are lots of yeah buts that go with it, but again, in talking with the people, it's not by choice, most of them. I mean, who would choose to live like that? Not anybody I know. It's a terrible thing to not have a place. The people who do live on the streets experience all sorts of horrible things, and I will be honest and say that there is a lot of evil at work among that population of people. There's a lot to stir up trouble and hurt and pain, and the not having a place only amounts to not having a true existence. They become nameless, placeless. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And of course, there's no easy solution, and I'm not saying there is, but what I want to do with that introduction is to help us to know, or even to somewhat come to grips with this idea of not having a place that leads to not having an existence, not being a real person. In our epistle reading and in our gospel reading, in Christ there is a place. In Christ there is an existence, a recognition of life. In the world, it is not so. In the world around us, and sometimes even in our own hearts, when we see people in those conditions, we cast judgment, or we come up with stories in our minds that help us to feel better about not helping those who are in need. But this sense of place is so vital to our identity as people. And Christ provides a sense of place to people who have no place, who have no identity, In our epistle reading, Peter says, once you were not a people. Once you had no existence. Once you had no name. Once you had no place. You were not a people. We see that. We drive by it. We drive by a people who are not a people. But Christ calls all of us to be his people. And he doesn't call us and say, all right, now you're my people, so go and figure it out. Go and find a place. Go and build your house. Go and do all of these things. No, he provides the place. He calls the people, it says, out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He calls the people who are not a people, and he makes them a people. He calls us out of the darkness of our sins, out of the darkness of our hearts, out of the darkness of our judgments, out of our darkness of our stereotypes and whatever we want to say, out of our hearts that want to take away place and identity from people. He calls us out of that and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you didn't have a place, but now you have a place. Once you didn't have an identity, but now you do have an identity, and that identity is completely and totally wrapped up in Christ. It isn't an identity that we have established for ourselves. It isn't an identity that we've determined for ourselves. It isn't an identity that we figured out for ourselves. It isn't an identity that we forged for ourselves. It is an identity that has been given to us. And that identity is in Christ as his people, called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Jesus is talking with his disciples on the night that he is betrayed, and they obviously are troubled, they're worried, they're concerned, they're confused. They don't know, what is it going to be like when Jesus is gone? Who will we be? Who will we be when Jesus is gone? Will we still be his disciples if he's not here? What will our identity be if Jesus isn't here? Will we still be his people? We don't know. We have this anxiety, the disciples, as they're sitting around trying to figure this out. And Jesus, don't let your hearts be troubled. Sure, easy for you to say. Don't be worried. And the assurance that Jesus gives to the disciples is that they will have a place. Even though Jesus will not physically be with them, they will have a place. They will have an identity. They will be a people called by God into his marvelous light. They will have a place. And notice, the place that Jesus talks about is not some physical place that we, you know, he's going to say, well, we're going to set you up in this city and then you'll be a protected city. No, it's not that. Where is the place that Jesus says that will be for them is in his Father's house. In his Father's house, you have a place. Once you were not a people. Once you didn't have a place, you didn't have an identity, but now you do. And it is in the Father's house that you have this place. Remember when Mary and Joseph were called out of the city they were living in to go to Bethlehem because they needed to be counted, and they got to Bethlehem, and what was the problem? There was no place for them. The creator of the universe was coming into the world, and there was no place for them. They were just a number among many. There was no identity. There was no special place for Jesus. There was no place. He had to be born in the back of the house, in the alleyway, in the barn, whatever you want to call it, the manger area where they were feeding the animals. That was the place. In my Father's house are many rooms. There is plenty of space in my Father's house. Jesus says, because I came into the world and there was no place for me. In fact, when somebody asked where I was staying, I said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. No place. There is no place for God. There is no place for Jesus. Look at the world around us. Is there a place for Jesus? In my Father's house, there is plenty of space. In my Father's house, there is a place for you. And notice that the place that is prepared for you is not prepared by you. It is not prepared by doctrine. It is not prepared by denomination. It is not prepared by the government. It's prepared by Jesus himself. You have a place in the Father's house that was built by Jesus, the master carpenter, the master builder, the cornerstone himself. You have a place. You, whom so much of the world sees as just a number, just a body, just somebody taking up space, you have a place. And not just in our Father's house in the future, you know, in heaven, yes, we have a place. But now, here, today, you have a place. How many of you found it hard to find some place to sit here this morning? Did you walk in and go, man, I just don't know. There's no seats around here. No, there's space in God's house. There's always a place. This is the place that God has prepared for you today. Once you were not a people, but today you are a people. You are a people called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and you have a place prepared for you by Christ himself. Today, you have a place. You have an identity. You are his people, a royal priesthood. And yes, we have a place prepared for us by Christ himself. When that day comes and he calls us all to be with him where he is, notice that we're not just going to heaven in some mystical place playing harps with halos. We are going to be where Jesus is. Talk about a place. Those whom we love who have passed on in the faith are where Jesus is. What sweet comfort that song gives. They have a place, and you do too. In fact, there's plenty of space in God's house. There is a place prepared for each and every people he calls out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are not wandering homeless. We have a place. But this place is not just for us, because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light to do what? What has he called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light to do? To proclaim the excellencies of God. To proclaim to all of the ears that have no sense of place, all of the ears who have no sense of identity, all of those who have been forgotten and left out and shunned by society, all of the people in our lives who don't know who Jesus is or don't want to know who Jesus is, we proclaim the excellencies of God to them. We tell them that they have a place, that they are a people of God, that they are called out of their darkness and into his marvelous light too. And it's in that marvelous light where the excellencies of God are on display that our place is. Our place is where Jesus is. Our place is in the Father's house. Our place is here today. It's yours forever. Amen. And now may that God who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light guard and protect the true faith in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.